one of the world famous psukim from Vishlei. Eitz chayim hila machazikim bach v'saymecheha me'usha. I remember many years ago I gave a drasha at a dinner in honor of someone who gave a very substantial amount of money to a certain maaser. And I pointed out that there are all kinds of reasons why a person might give money, including pressure, or because he has to maintain his image or stature in the community. And most of those people will give money, and maybe even substantial amounts, but at the end of the day, they're not very happy about it. And if they had their druthers, maybe they wouldn't have given it altogether, because the money is very tired to them, and they like to keep it in their pockets. Nevertheless, since they give lamaisa, so they are machzikei hatorah. There's no question about it. But at the same time that they are considered machzikei hatorah, but they're not so happy. Once in a while, there's somebody that's truly and genuinely delighted to be able to give his money because he understands that that is the tachlis, that the whole purpose and the whole te'elis of having that much money is to be able to do tzedakah v'chesed. And the opportunity that presents itself is considered by them the greatest gift, as in fact the Zohar HaKadosh says, which we mentioned in the past, several times in the Zohar you find that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu really likes a person, he sends him matonis. What kind of matonis does he send? He sends an oni to come to the door. That's the matona that the Eibishter sends a person. Imagine that kind of hashkofa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a matona in the form of an oni. What does it mean? It means that the opportunity to help a yid, this is the greatest thing in the world. So I pointed out at that time, b'daptach ha'bezog na'avot, you know. So I said, Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim bo is in the plural. Taimcheha is in the plural. Me'ushar is in the singular. Taimcheha should have been me'usharim. So I said, for all of the taimchim, there's one me'ushar. There's one person who feels that as gliklach, that he's thrilled out of his wits, and he's the most fortunate person on earth, right? That he should be able to do it. So that's why it's in the singular. So just for the sake of the Shleimus HaInyan, I decided to present to you with a shtickel matana. I can't say that the list is totally exhaustive, but it happens to be that there are quite a few psukim which start out in the plural and end up in the singular, such as the Taimcheha Me'ushar. And I gave you an entire list. As I say, I don't know if it's the total number of instances, but it's certainly the vast majority of them. And the list includes, of course, the pasuk of V'nois Tzo'ado Alei Shur that we have in Parshat Vayechi. And V'nois is in the plural, right? Bonois. And Tzo'ado and not Tzo'adu. So Benoist Sa'ado is one of those examples, and then I give a whole bunch of other examples. Zruvei Mavish Yavish, Vahi Yodov Emuna, right, and so on. Luchitzav Yimchatz, Gula Ti Eloi, which is referring to the Bote HaChatzerim, which is in the plural. And you have a whole bunch of others. You have about 30 examples there. So it's not that it's such an unusual thing to find me'ushar in the singular, aber afeine drosche idos felt. And it was very appropriate to the person. Yeah. The Vilna Gaon, on the pasuk of Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim, says the following. Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim, ki derech ha-machzik bebeiz yodayim hu-machzik. When someone holds something, especially if he holds it tight or holds it dear, he holds it with both hands. Unlike many of the other pshatim on the word lamachazikim, which refer to the taimchei hatorah, the Vilna Gaon here bedavka interprets lamachazikim means to the people of makayim the Torah with mitzvah sasei, mitzvah loy sasei, which is the yamin and the smile, and that is why it says lamachazikim, because when you hold something, you hold it with both your right hand and with your left hand. So when you hold something with your right hand and your left hand with both hands, it's a remez to mitzvah saseh and to mitzvahs loy saseh. Yeah? So now, if that's the kiyum ha-Torah, right? So what's taimcheha? So he says, v'taimcheha m'ushar v'beiz raglayim tamchin da'oraisa v'hein beiz. He says, taimcheha are the people who support the Torah. So it's very interesting. He learns that machzikim is with your hands and taimcheha is with your feet, as it were. You hold it up in the sense of you're supporting it from down below. You give it a maimed, a basis. So he says there are two kinds. Echad atoimich b'mamayim ve'echad atoimich b'guf ve'hein misham shei talmidei chachomim v'chein oma taimcheha in the plural beis taimchim. So the Goyin interprets this pasuk in a very unusual way, in a unique way. He says the la'machzikim, first of all, refers to the people who are mekayim the mitzvah satay. And it's machzikim because it's both hands representing the yamin and the smile, which represents mitzvah saseh and mitzvah loy saseh. And the taimcheh, the people who support Torah, are also of two kinds. They're the people who support Torah b'mamaynam, and those who support Torah b'gufam. And how do you support Torah with your guf? You are mishamish talmidei chacham. So you have now in the Vilna Gaon a matana that he says the Amar Kan shiva matonais. The words of the Gaon are matana, but the Gaon says here that there are seven gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Bnei Yisrael that come from the Torah, that come as a result of the Torah. What are they? The Amar Kan shiva matonais shenas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael al yidei HaTorah v'heim chayim the oisher ubanim the chachma the kavod chayim the shalom. So the Goyin says, let's take a look. Behain Oruch Yomim, right? It says Oruch Yomim b'imina. You see the three psukim together on the top of the page. So Oruch Yomim is what? Chay. B'imina b'smola, Oisha b'chavay, k'mashmai. So you already have three out of the seven. Drachel adarchei noam, hu chokhma. Very interesting. It's very interesting. He learns that if true chokhmah always brings sweetness, anything that tastes bitter, it's a siman that there's something wrong. Either it's not emes or the person's not learning properly. What we call, we have an expression for that. I never heard anybody speak about the sweet taste of physics. But no, I'm serious. But you have a geschmack in Lerman. It's like baked into the Yiddish language, a geschmack, a sweet taste. It's delightful. It's delicious. You know, somebody's going to say history is delicious. Economics is delicious. Torah is delicious. So this idea that das l'nafshecha yinam, because true Torah has that sweet taste, and that's why when you take a little child, you put the honey on the ice. From that moment on, and for the rest of his life, he has this yisoid. Eitz Chaim, very interesting. What's Eitz Chaim? Bunny. Well, it's very interesting. Why? Because it says Pri Tzadik Eitz Chaim. Who are the parents of the tzadik? The payers of the tzaddik are his children. If you take a look at the footnote, number 2, so the Bir Agro, and that pasuk, Pri Tzaddik Eitz Chaim, it's a pasuk in Mishlei Perek Yud Aleph. So the Goyin says, Heim HaBonim, Shekol mi shemeniach bein, harehu ke'ilu chay. If he's meniach bein, that of course is doing what he's doing, then it's as if he continues to live. The Oid, ki hatzadik malamid la'achayim shiyas mitzvah Hashem, ashayas osam ha'adam v'chay. L'chein ha'prishol hatzadik is Eitz Chaim. So the Goyin says that the words Eitz Chaim he refer to Bonim. Me'ushar hu chein, sha'al yodoy ma'ashrin oisai. It's like the pasuk that says, komu bonel v'ya ashruha. Through Torah, there is a chein. The people who learn Torah are noisei chayim. And in that long list of the Ella, you see that the person has tremendous chen. Why did he finish with shalom at the end of the list? Because shalom always comes at the end of the list. It's the kli that's masik bracha, that's the container for all the other brachas. So hagam that the word shalom is in the second pasuk. But when the guy organizes the list, he puts shalom at the end, where it always is, like in Sim Shalom and the Shemayin Esrei. Now, we have two separate agendas, and this will require several shiurim. The first agenda that I wanted to do today, because we have as our intimate Olam Baruch Hashem, I wanted to do with you the issue, the famous topic of taking money for learning Torah. The koil concept. There is a very valuable tshuva from Chacham Avadia Yosef. So Zayin Gezunt, and the reason that it's especially valuable is because he puts together the Mekoiris in a very nice package for us. Demis Niz, that we all know the Shitas HaRambam, and as I've said many times, and I believe even here, if we're Medayek in the Lashon HaRambam very carefully, we will come up with a picture that is not as simple as what first seems to be. The third Perek of Hilchos Talmud Torah Halacha Yud. What is the context of this Rambam? Because I think that's very, very important. The Rambam, in my Hakdom, I want to tell you a little bit about the organization of the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam in the first Perek and the second Perek of Hilchos Talmud Torah speaks about the mitzvah in general. In the basic yesodis of the mitzvah. In the third perek, he begins what appears on the surface at first to be almost like the geshmak of Torah, the chashivus of Torah. It's almost like a poem about the greatness of Torah. But of course, and you know, it begins with the very famous expression that Torah is one of the three crowns. There's Keser Torah, there's Keser Kohuna, and there's Keser Malchus. So the Rambam says, B'shloisha kesarim nichteru Yisrael, Keser Torah, Keser Kohuna, Keser Malchus, Keser Kohuna, Zocha by Arei, Shenema v'isa loy uzara afra b'rizkun asoylam, Keser Malchus, Zocha by David, Shenema v'zara loylam yiyah, v'kisay kashemesh negdi, Keser Torah is munach b'keren zavis. Munach v'yomid. He doesn't say b'keren zavis. That I was myself from another chazal. But Keser Torah mei munach v'yomid b'muchan l'chol Yisrael. You know the part of the Bali Musa. Keren is a corner and zavis is a corner. Why the repetition? Keren zavis. Because Torah is in such a matzav that even in the corner it only has a corner. It has a keren of a zavis. It doesn't have the whole zavis. But the Rambam doesn't use that. Lashon munach v'yomid u'muchan l'chol Yisrael. It's very interesting. Munach, Oymed, and Muchan are three different words, and every word in the Rambam should be Meduyak, and we have to know another time what is the difference between Munach, Oymed, and Muchan. Dem kemereid nagan tzisho. Shenem ha-toyga tziv olonu moshe meirosho ki hilas Yaakov. Kol mi she yirtze, yovo v'yito. Shem ha-toyma sh'oysa maksolim gedoylu mikes ha-toyga, harei yoyme bim alochim yimloichu v'roiznim yichoy kutzedek bi esorim yosoyru, so you see from the Mahalach of the Rambam at the very beginning, you could imagine that this is like a poem about the beauty and wonderful qualities of Torah and the greatness of Torah and the importance of Torah. But it's not a poem. It's halacha lemaisa in many ways. In this Perek, Bedafka, the Rambam spoke about not taking tzedakah because you are learning. And let me read to you the context more precisely of where that Rambam comes from. The Rambam says, "Divrei Torah nimshul kamayim shenema hoy kol tzami luchulamay. Mloy malach mamayim eino miskansim b'makam madrin elu nischolim eolav miskapsim b'makam eshboirin. Mayim goes down and flows on the incline to its resting place down below. Kach divrei Torah eino nimtzayim begasi aruach." Beloy beleid kol gevalei elo bedakos shvaluach shemisadik ba'afaragli chachomim ומסר התאבויס ותענוגי הזמן מליבוי ואויסה מלוכה בכל יום מעט כדי חיוב אם לא יהיו לא ימייכל ושאר יוימי ולילו יעסק בתורה. This Rambam, which is the Rambam right before the very famous Rambam that everybody quotes, who wants to knock Koilalim and people who take money for learning Torah, they all quote the Rambam that you have to have a Parnosa. They start with the Rambam that you have in front of you. And the Rambam is extremely aggressive in his criticism. Hareze, number one, Chilulas Hashem. You don't have to go past that. Number two, Biza Satira. Number three, Kova Me'or Hadas. Number four, Vigoram Ro'al Atzmai. Number five, V'Nochal Chayov Min Ha'olam Haba. In other words, the Rambam is not happy. So the Rambam, each one of these Yesodis is separate and apart. But Chilul Hashem, Biza Satira, Kova Me'or Hadas. The first three have to do with the Etzem Inyan. The first one addresses the Ribbono Shel Olam. The second two address Torah in two different way, expressions. Biza es HaTorah, Kova Me'or Hadas. Biza es HaTorah is an attitude. He shows contempt for the Torah. Kova Me'or Hadas is a consequence. In other words, he does damage to the Torah. You can be mevazis somebody, but you can't necessarily ruin his parnasa. Or you can be mevazis somebody, and you can't ruin his shidduch because of that. But sometimes you can be mevazis somebody, and because you mevazis him, you also ruin the shidduch. The Rambam says over here that it actually does damage to Torah. And I'll try to explain why, b'li neder, in a moment. But then the Rambam says, why is all this so terrible? L'pisha asu lehanois midivrei Torah ba'olam hazeh. Not a lot of benefit from Divrei Torah in this world. Amru Chachomim, Kol Hanenem Divrei Torah, Natal Chayev Min Ha'olam. That's Min Ha'olam, means Olam Haba. He actually limits and damages his Olam Haba. V'oitzivu v'amru. And besides that, they said, Al Taseim HaTorah L'Zgadol B'hem, L'Kardom L'Achba B'hem. Not allowed to use it as a crown to make yourself glorious and famous, nor should you use it as a tool to dig with. In other words, don't use it as a shovel, don't use it as a pitchfork, don't make your panasa from it. Ba'od tzivu ba'amru, and then besides everything else, there's a positive value to malacha, ahoyves ha-malacha usna es ha-rabonus, v'chol teira she'enim ha-malacha, soifa b'teila, in the end, it's not going to work, v'goyreres avayn, and of course, consequence is negative, v'soif adam zeh, she'yehei malastin es ha-briyais, such a person is going to end up robbing from people. Doesn't necessarily mean, by the way, that he's going to be a highwayman or a bandit or, you know, a highway robber. It could very well be that he becomes an accountant who fadres people's books or whatever. But in other words, the point is that such a person is going to end up doing whatever it takes to make his money because he doesn't know what it means to have a decent and honest living. As I pointed out to you a moment ago, the Rambam is very, very negative about a person who learns Torah and does not have any form of parnasa. However, the Rambam's parnasa is not the parnasa that we are talking about today. And if you look carefully at the previous halacha, and it's very, very crucial to understand that these halachas are back to back. It's very important. It's not even just in the same perek. They're mamish back to back. And if a person does not memorize the halacha that precedes the halacha of parnasa, then he has not only a warped understanding, but, you know, he's missing the point, but that his whole appreciation of what the Rambam is trying to say has to go down the drain. It's impossible to understand the Rambam that speaks about parnasa that we just learned without learning previous to that Rambam the halacha that precedes it, which I read to you a moment ago. Divrei Torah nimshalu kamay. The first question that we have to ask Stamazoy is, the Rambam here is talking about Torah. Now it's very true that Mayim is going from a high place to a low place, and for Torah you need that kind of personality. But what is the Rambam trying to say over here, besides that a Talmud Chacham needs to be an honor? Is that all he's trying to say? I think he's saying much more than that. The context of this Rambam, it's important to know the previous Rambam, because the Rambam goes with a mahalach that's very, very precise. And the Rambam is teaching us a very important point, namely, that when a person pursues money as an end unto itself, it can only be for one reason, after all is said and done. It's like I pointed out to somebody that there's a house that somebody built, and he's extremely wealthy. So he has to build a house that reflects the fact that he's extremely wealthy. A house that reflects that kind of money has to have in it at least 14 bathrooms. That person is not a machnis ayreach, and that person is not interested that people should step on his carpet, which itself costs probably $1 million in the house. And that person doesn't need 14 bathrooms, because there is a general rule in life that you can only use one bathroom at a time. Maybe there is a yotzei min haklal, but I'm not aware of any. So if that's the case, if there's two people living in the house and they hardly ever have a guest, was davn haben 14 bathrooms? So the answer is, of course, to provide the cleaning crew with panasa. But let's assume for a moment that the person is not such a baal chesed. So there has to be another reason. The answer is because the house next door only has 13 bathrooms and he has 14. That's the answer. So I used to say all the time in many of my drushes that for years, somehow it disappeared, but it's very interesting what it was replaced with. Also very interesting. So I used to travel on the FDR drive every single day, Miyam Rishayin Ad Yom Chamishi, and I would pass by, there was a marina, however you pronounce it, with yachts, boats of pleasure, that were parked, and the boat never went anywhere. Every single day, for years, I see this boat docked. It could be, it didn't even have a motor, for all I know. But not only that, on top of the boat was a helicopter, a little toy helicopter, the stomach holds two people. And it was on the boat. Says the boat goes out to sea, and in case you want to... have a ride to the shore or whatever it is. You don't have to bring the boat all the way in. You get on the helicopter and you go in and you park in the heliport and then you do some shopping in Neiman Marcus or somewhere. And then we fall right back on the helicopter to the boat and say, Shalom Yisrael. But that's by Medvar Mamurim that you need a helicopter if the boat is going somewhere. But if the boat is parked in the same marina for days, weeks, months, and years, what's that not in the helicopter? The Teretz is because the Baron Khan and a million people like him are traveling on the FDR drive. And anyhow, there's bumper-to-bumper traffic, there's plenty of time to watch that yacht. And they're going to see that there's somebody here who has a yacht, and not only a yacht, but a yacht with a helicopter, ain't kind of kind. About a year ago, I saw somewhere, I don't remember where, but I saw that now the people who sell yachts, that's kind of like like when you sell a car, there's certain things, what do they call that?
Standard equipment.
And then there's maestrias, fancy stuff that's optional. So now they're making the yachts with the helicopters. So now, the person who's doing this, that's what I think. Once everybody had a helicopter, that boat disappeared. Instead, now there are two boats, one next to each other, a papa boat and a baby boat. And both of them are called Cloud 9. When you're on that boat, you're on Cloud 9. So you understand, what is the purpose of having a boat that's docked 98% of the time? And most of these people, they have more than one boat. They have a boat here, they have a boat there. They have several planes, they have several houses. There's a chateau in France, there's a house here. And every one of them has 14 bathrooms, at least. What is the pshat in all of that? You know what the terrace is? There's a certain point where a person makes parnasa to survive. The next level is to have the luxuries and the creature comforts of life. But there comes a point where if you live 1,000 years, you couldn't exhaust the money that you have. And there's no comfort coming out of that extra money. Dora Chaim HaKadosh asks the same question that I just asked. What's it all about? And he gives, of course, the famous teretz. Im kesef tal ve'esami, es ha'ani imach. You have the ani's money. That's why you're so wealthy. All that extra money that you can't use and that you have no benefit from, and it's just sitting in the bank, or it's a figure on the computer screen, that you have millions and billions, what is it for? Because you have the ani's money. You're a gizbar. You're a bank teller. So when the ani knocks on the door, you say, I'm sorry, it's like the teller, you bring it, you give him the check to cash, and the teller says, I'm sorry, today I don't feel like it. It's not shayach, says the Arachayim HaKadosh. On the pasuk, im kesef tal v'sami in mishpatim. But if you don't want to answer like the Arachayim HaKadosh, what's the answer? The answer is that 98% of Redifas HaMamon after a certain point is translated as Redifas HaKavod. That's all it is. That's why every single building has to say Trump. Bemis. That's the chat. And that's what I'm living for. And that's my whole chiyus. And if I wouldn't have that chiyus, then it doesn't matter. I don't need any of that money. I don't need a fraction of that money. And I'm not giving it away to tzedakah so fast. Because as long as my name is splattered all over the place, I have kavod. So the Rambam says earlier, a gevaldike yisoid. The Rambam says, "Mi shenesoo libo lekayim mitzvah zukaroi." If a person wants properly to be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the liyos muchtar bekeser haTorah, and to be crowned with the crown of Torah, lo yasiach daito l'dvarim acherim, he's not allowed to busy himself and concentrate on anything else. But then the Rambam adds the following words, v'lo yosim al liboy, nor should he ever imagine, sheyikne Torah im ha'osher ve'hakavod ka'achas. Why does osher always come with kavod? Chayim shel osher v'kavod, etc. You know why? Because as I said before, after point X, it's all kavod. That's all osher is. Kachi darka shel Torah, continues the Rambam. Pasba melach toichal, mayim b'mesurat tishtal, oretz tishon, chayitzar tichya, uva Torah ato omel. So the question is, what is the Rambam speaking later about humility? It's not because the Rambam wants to tell you stama principle, that Torah hatzaton with anova. It's that the Rambam is explaining to me that the only kind of person that seeks that level of kavod is a balgaifa. There's no way that anyone who has genuine humility would ever be interested in a house with 14 bedrooms. There's no way that a person that has genuine humility would have any desire to have two cloud nines, or to have a yacht with a helicopter parked in the marina on the FDR drive. That whole idea comes from gaiva, from a certain vanity, a certain haughtiness, with a massive big ani in bold neon letters flashing in the dark. And that kind of matzav, that kind of personality, is the personality that constantly strives to have more and bigger and faster. And that personality will never achieve, no matter how brilliant he is, and no matter even how many hours he might put in. Because now that he has so much money, he's a man of leisure. But as long as he has that agenda of kavod, it's impossible for such a person to be zeichet to kesef Torah. And that's what the Rambam says, kachi darko shel Torah. It's a very important thing to emphasize that Lashon. It's not the Rambam's Lashon. It's the Lashon of Chazal. But the Rambam repeated it, and he says here, Darka Shel Torah. You know what Derech means? Like we speak of a way of life. What is the difference between a way of life and mitzvahs is obvious. A way of life embraces everything that the person represents. A way of life is the totality of his being. It's his mahalach in all of life, not in this prat or in that prat, this detail or that detail. So the sum total of all of his mitzvahs and all of his avoidance of aveiros and all of his
hashkafa, and all of his lifnei mishuras hadin, etc., etc., and what he teaches his children, and how he manages his household, and what he conveys to his neighbors, and the personality that he depicts to others with Kiddush Hashem. This is all a way of life. When the Rambam speaks about Darko Shel Torah, he's saying that there's a certain way of life that can achieve Kesef Torah, and there's a certain way of life that is not shayach to Kesef Torah. And the way of life that is not shayach to Kesef Torah has in it an ingredient called gaiva. So therefore, if you want Darko Shel Torah, there has to be Pas Bamelech Toichal Mayim Bamesura Tishtet. You should forgive me if I add that there are many people who are learning Torah a great deal of the day that have no hasaga of this Rambam in their pupik. I mean, they know the Rambam. Maybe they know the Rambam better than me. Well, I don't know about that, but maybe they know the Rambam well. But the fact of the matter is that they have no hasaga of what it's all about. The Pas Bamelech Toichal Mayim Bamesura Tishtet is not, it's not a warning. Darko Shel Torah is not a warning, you know, don't get caught up with the narishkeit of the world. It'll take you away from Torah in Zman, in Moyach. It's a positive thing. The way of Torah requires a mahalach of Pas Bamelech Toichal. And it's a very hard thing for people to appreciate when you live in a consumer society, when the entire economy of the world is based today on people wanting to buy more. If people stop wanting to buy, the whole of the economy of the world will collapse in a minute. And it's an incredible thing. And everything hangs on that balance in economics. Do they have the money to buy it? If they buy more by borrowing more, there's a threat that the economy will collapse. And if they stop buying, then the whole of manufacturing falls apart, and the whole provision of goods and services falls apart, and before you know it, the economy collapsed all over again. The Meir de Gazach. The whole of the world is that you have to buy something. You have to acquire. And the whole of the Torah says, no. Pas Bamelech Umayim Bamesura. It's an incredible thing. Al reka this, I want to be medayik very carefully in the halacha before the Rambam of Panosa. That halacha says again as follows. Loi b'ashamayim hi v'loi me'eva layam. And then he said, divrei Torah nimshu kamayim. It goes from the high place to a low place. Kach divrei Torah einam nimtzayim b'gasi aruach v'loi b'leiv kol gevalev. Ela, where is Torah to be found? B'daka u'shval ruach. That's what he does. He's misabik ba'afragli chachomim, is mashma tarte. Number one, he is in the dust of the feet of talmid chachomim. That is where you become an anav. That's how you breed anava, by being in the dust of people who are bigger and acknowledging their greatness at the expense of your own. Umeser hatayvitz v'tanugi azman miliboy. And he has to remove all of these desires, all of this concept of acquiring and enjoying and delighting in the pleasantries of Olam Hazeh. But it doesn't say he doesn't do it. It says, Meisir Milibay. He doesn't even want it. It's not his concern. It's not his desire. He has no interest or feeling for it. So Ois, now listen to these words, because these are the critical words. And wherever I have a chance to say it, wherever I go, I repeat these words. Because you're not allowed to quote halacha yud, the next halacha, unless you mask him to quote this halacha as well. And a person who does that is mamish mezayif the Torah of the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Meisir hatayvos v'tanugei hazman miliboy, v'oiseh melacha b'chol yom, ma'at, a little bit, kedei chayov, as much as he needs to live. Kedei chayov is an extremely big limitation. It's a very strong limitation, kedei chayov. But the next words are the biggest limitation of all. Im loy hoyo loy ma yoicha. The only allowance that the Rambam, who's so makbid on having parnosa, allows a person, if he wants to be zoicha to keser Torah, and this warning about parnosa, that you have to have a parnosa, is in the perek of keser Torah. And I'll tell you why. Because the Perek of Keser Torah says, learn, 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 learn. So a person could say, hey, what's going to be with Panosa? I'll take from Stoka.
learn. That another person, he's not learning any out of the whole day. So of course not going to take from tzedakah. But when the Rambam speaks about yoyim of a layla, so you think there you have a heter? Rambam said, no, you have to have your own panosa. But what kind of panosa the learning yoyim of a layla person has to have, who wants to be zoyche keset Torah, it's number one, ma'at, kedei chayov, im loy hoyoloy ma'yoycha. Now today we can't appreciate that because there's kemat not such a panosa in existence. But imagine the example. A shoemaker makes a pair of shoes. From that pair of shoes, it takes him a whole day to make a pair of shoes. So it takes him a day and a half. Then, by Monday afternoon, he has a pair of shoes sold, and he has enough money for the rest of the week, including Shabbos. Then, according to the Rambam, he's not allowed to work one bit on his shoes to make extra money to put in the bank, to make extra money to buy a carpet, to make extra money to buy a car, and so on and so forth. What is he mechuyev to do? Stop working. Because at that point, he already has the ma'at, kedei chayov, ma'sheyoychal, and the next few days, sha'ar, yoymoy v'leiloy oisik batoy. That's it. So the Rambam's point is that the idea of panosa, yes, because he continues, kol ha'meisim alibay sheyasik b'toyer v'lo yasim melacha, is a reference to the melacha that he described just before of oise ma'at kedei chayov im loy hoyoloy ma'yoycha. And anyone, I repeat this wherever I go, anyone who says halacha yud without telling me before what he said in halacha tes, as the hakdama to halacha yud, as the introduction to halacha yud, is mezayik the tachlis of the Rambam. The Rambam did not say that you should have a panosa if you want to be zoicha to keset Torah that keeps you busy and turns your head up and down for 40 years, and then you retire and you have no koyach and you have all kinds of issues with health and other things, and then you should become a big Talmud Chacham. It's very important to be aware of that. Such a parnasa kemat is not shayach to find today. That's not the point. What's the solution? So let's say you have zelu umazeh. Now, before we even look at the makairis about kairo, even if we look at makairis, before the makairis, it's a very logical thing. You know what it means to take from tzedakah? Tzedakah is like this. There's a kupa shel tzedakah that's for whom? Who is an oni? I'm a totally able-bodied person, and I don't feel like working. You know why? Because it's more expensive for me to get a job than to not have a job and get programs. Because if I get Section 8, and I get food stamps, and I get this, and I get this, and I get this, before you know it, WIC, and thus, and yes, a fortune of money. So I decide, yeah, but that's for people who don't work. I'm going to get myself a job. You get a job, you have deductions. They take off for this, and they take off for that, and before you know it, your take-home pay is bupkis. Now you compare what this person gets from the government, when you add it all up, and what this person gets from his hard work, and sometimes it's possible to come to the conclusion that the one who works hard makes less in the end than the Medina Shel Chesed provides the person doesn't work at all. Now, the Rambam says, and this is the Yisayit, that if you're an able-bodied person, we're not talking about Medina Shel Chesed, now we're talking with shifting gears, but it's the same idea. What are we talking about now? We're talking about taking money from a Kupa Shel Tzedakah. For whom was that Kupa Shel Tzedakah?
Aniyim.
For Aniyim, exactly. You know, there's people who are not Nebuch capable, or the Ribbono Shel Olam did not smile with favor upon them, and therefore their matzav is garua, either because of health in Yonim, or because of disabilities of whatever, or because the mishpacha is too large, or because they're not competent. It's matzah chamol, the person is not so bright, the person is not capable, whatever it is. Sometimes whatever parnasa he had was lost, and he can't regain the parnasa because of the economic matzav, or because his skills are not for tomorrow, they were for yesterday, and v'chulu v'chulu, ma'isim b'chol yoy. Such a person who's an ani is entitled to take money because it's called tzedakah. That's what tzedakah is. Es ha'ani imach, as I said before. Pasayach
tiftach es yodcha la'achicha la'aniyecha ule'evyoincha ba'atzecha. It's black on white. And from the Torah to the Psak Halacha and Azevaita. Here you have a person. You ask this person, are you able to work? He says, yes, I am. So then why aren't you? Because I want to learn Torah. So such a person, says the Rambam, is not allowed to take money from tzedakah. Because he's not an ani. Right now, he doesn't have any money, but you ask, why don't you have any money? Because he refuses to work. Such a person is not an ani. My goal and my incentive for not working is not because I'm a lazy good for nothing, or because I enjoy being a parasite, or because why should I work if you can do something good? After all, what does the Silas Sisharim say? It's because of the klal of b'zeis hapecha toich halechem. That's why we have to do our ishadlus. So then he says to himself, I have a better eitzah, which is less zeya, and maybe more lechem. I take money from the kupa shel tzedakah. And meanwhile, I'm learning a whole day. I said, no, you can't do that. You're not allowed. And the Rambam says a lot of not nice things about it. One thing, first of all, number one, chilas Hashem. Then two more things about Torah. Biza satayra and kava mar hadas. And then three things about himself, right? This is what you have over here. You have it in your notes. What are the other three things about himself? Number one, two things. Garam ro la'atzmai, v'not l'chayiv v'no ilam abo. Garam ro la'atzmai means in this world. Very interesting. And besides that, he loses chelik in his olam abo. In the end, the Rambam is telling you that tzedakah is meant for aniyim and not for people who are learning Torah. Now the very first yesod is, what happens if there is no melacha that satisfies the Rambam's requirement and I want to be zeichet to kaseh Torah? And I have a zvulun that wants to support me. So the answer is, avada, the Rambam is not talking about such a case. Because that is not being mispanis min atzdoka. He doesn't go to the gabbai of the town and he says, panaseni kekelebu ka'irev. He doesn't go on the line of the aniyim and take his chelek from the mos of tzedakah. This is a separate personal arrangement which I have a right to give my money to anybody I want as a matana. And the fact that there's a relationship that is mutually beneficial is the yesod of all economics, and it should be no different here, hagam, that it's associated with ruchnius. The Rambam never said, no matter what, that about all these negatives. What about the paz? Let me finish the sentence. The Rambam never said about all these negatives, except in taking from tzedakah. Nochamol de loshon Rambam. Kalameisim alibay. Sheyasik b'toyra v'lo yasim alocha v'yisparnes min hatzedakah. Is I raise the chilus Hashem b'chulu. The negatives were only if he takes from tzedakah. I grant one thing, that if a person doesn't do any work at all, he doesn't have the positives either. Because the Rambam, after he finishes all the negatives of taking from tzedakah, adds a few positives in having a melacha besides your learning. There is something beneficial in melacha itself. And the Rambam says that kol Torah sheini m'melacha sefer b'teila, the goyrei resovim, which is a chazal. So what's the pshat? So the pshat is like this. You know very well that there was a chazal that said, kol ha-melamed is seyisha Torah, ke'ilu melamda tiflus. Melamed is bitay Torah, it doesn't matter. Ke'ilu melamda tiflus. So when the Chofetz Chaim and the others, when it came time to pasken up on the possibility of making a Beis Yaakov by Sora Shanira v'chulu, so the question was, in this particular idea of melamed is bitay Torah, there's a chof hadimyon, ke'ilu melamda tiflus. It's as if. So said the Chofetz Chaim and others, kemaisai, that melamda tiflus is much worse than ke'ilu melamda tiflus. If the alternative, in other words, is that these girls, because they do not have what we call today a Beis Yaakov kind of education, are going to be antagonistic to Torah mitzvahs, and there'll be the tremendous disparity between Bachurim who learn in yeshiva and girls who learn in public school, then that is much worse than if they learn Torah in a yeshiva environment, and of course with all the proper caveats and warnings of what that's all about. So the ke'ilu malamda tiflus, sometimes it becomes a necessary evil if the alternative is malamda tiflus mamash. Now, in the same way, no matter how beneficial parnasa is, if lo yetzuya, we could conjure up such a thing that a person could eke out a minimalist parnasa in a very short amount of time that satisfies the Rambam's requirements and halacha tests, then avada gevist, we would also have the positive aspects of malacha, which no one is taking away. But if the alternative is mevatel legamri, the opportunity to be zoicha to keset Torah, then avada gevist, that's not shayach at all. Because it's not ke'ilu, it's malamda tiflus, if you understand my analogy. And that is exactly the nekudas ha-toyref. In Shabbos, this past Shabbos, I gave a drasha. It was a very strong drasha. So the drasha had one line, there was a line there. All those people that are worried about the people who learn and they don't have parnasa, I think they should rather worry about the people who have parnasa. Because the nisyonis today of parnasa, they're putting you in the street and on the internet, and all the other issues that are involved, are such a sakona to your avodas Hashem, it's no revayim. So, you know, that nobody cares about. It's only the poor Talmud Chacham. And it's almost like the whole world is learning Torah. You know, everybody's learning, what's going to be? And I have to tell you something, that if the same people 50 years ago, they weren't singing that song, What's Going to Be, because there was nobody learning Torah like that. There was no Koyulim like that. It's when Rav Aaron and the Mashgiach, Zichronim Levracha, Rav Nosson Vachtfeigel, when they were talking to this Gvir, and he says, what? You're going to learn Torah for years? What kind of business is that? Rav Nosson Vachtfeigel, that's what they say. I don't know, I wasn't there. But they say that he was afraid he was losing this big fish, and they needed the parnasa, they needed the support. So he says, a year or 2 years. The Rav Aaron heard that. He says, what? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. At that time, there was no one to complain about. It was wonderful. There were no Bnei Torah. There was nobody that was sitting and learning a whole day. There was nobody that you could accuse of taking money from Stalker. There was no one that you could accuse of being litigator and bank fetcher. Nobody. It was wonderful. It was the most glorious moment in Yiddishkeit. It was the most wonderful moment in Klal Yisrael. Nobody was interested in learning Torah. Everybody was busy destroying Klal Yisrael. That's what they were doing. And if it wouldn't be for these few Bnei Torah that got up and said, nay, where would we be today? There wouldn't be such a shear here. You wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. What kind of business is this? It's such a fraud. You know, we benefit from the beauty of all these thousands of Bnei Torah, and then we want to stick a dagger in their back and say, you're not doing the right thing? Panosa! What's going to be? What's going to be? There's an Eibishter in this world. That's what's going to be. And meanwhile, we have people who are on the verge of being Zeichet to Keset Torah, and we're not doing such a great job yet. We're not yet by the Pas B'Melech Toicha Madrega. Yechidei Sgula Mamish. And we don't have the Gedolim that we need to have, and the Poiskim that we need to have. So what, we should send them out into the street to become whatever it is? The Shugaf and Kop. Aber Lemaisa, the Yesoid in the Rambam is very Poshet. The Rambam says, you're taking from Tzedakah. He never spoke about Yisachar and Zvulun anywhere. And if you have a person like the Rambam, whose brother supported him until the boat went down with the brother and all of his rechush, and for a year he said he was sick in bed, and he wasn't able to console himself for another 10 years afterwards, then what's that all about? Now the Teretz says, Vosotas Tzatam Mitzdaka? My brother can give me whatever he wants. He can share his food with me. That's not called Tzedakah. Now this Rambam, if you do quote the beginning, still doesn't apply, as I said to you, to anything but taking from Tzedakah. Alakas kama v'kama if we fail to quote the first Rambam before we mention the second. Now let's take a look. There's one more thing I want to do with you today because it's very late, and we'll continue with the Yabia Omer's quotations because you know very well, I wrote up once a whole Tuntra Blinet. If you want it, you can have it. I'll print them up for you. It's about 150 pages or something, I don't know. But I wrote a whole Kuntras in English. because I wanted to be mefarsim. It's called Lamachzikim Bo, and it's about this question of the Rambam and all the tshuvas of the Tashbits that responded to the Rambam in one tshuva after another. And there it's analyzed by Arichus Gedoyla in English. So you're welcome to have it. You just remind me, I'll give it to you. But I want to do with you a Chai Odom that's a very frightening Chai Odom. And I was debating in my mind whether we should learn it or not. And then I said to myself, what are you talking about? Of course we have to learn it. It's in Chai Odom. And if you're not trusting me, you can open up the Chai Odom yourself. There's a few on the shelf here, and you have probably in the house, and you could look it up yourselves. The Chai Odom Chelek Aleph Klal Yud Sif Yudal. Kishem Shetzchar Talmud Torah Godlam Mikol HaMitzvahs. And I have to tell you, I am not learning this Rambam that we just learned, or the Chai Odom that we are learning now, or the Abiyah Omer. I have no agendas but the Emes of Torah. Honestly, I have no other agendas. No other agendas. Kishem Shetzchar Talmud Torah Godel Mikol HaMitzvahs Kach Einish Bitula Godel Mikol HaAveiros. You hear what he says? The Einish of Bitul Torah is greater than any other Aveira. Umatzinu LeBeis HaMikdash Rishon Sheviter HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Avodah Zarah Begilu Arayos Shvichus Damim. You have to understand what he means by Viter. Chazal say, in other words, you cannot say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu forgives and forgets. There's no such thing. There's a cheshbon. And we have to be responsible and own up to our aveiros. And we can't say, what does the Baruch Hashem care about this aveira, that aveira, or that there are other people who do much bigger aveiros, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be busy with them, he's not going to be busy with me. You're not allowed to do that. And there's a klola against a person, a klola, yivatru meyoyim. In Chazal, for a person that says that Kadosh Baruch Hu forgoes things, he's not interested in judgment. But when it says here Vita Kadosh Baruch Hu, it means he, even though he acknowledged the chomer of these averos, he was not willing to destroy his Beis Hamikdash for that reason. That's Vita, not Vita. But the individuals will be punished, but the collective decision that the chomer of these averos, these horrible averos, are sufficient to bring about Churban Beis HaMikdash, and they were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to postpone it anyhow. Until what? The loy vita alovim bitul Torah. But when they were mevakel from learning, that he cannot forgive, no matter what. Shenemar, famous Chazal, al mo'ov de horetz, vayoyma Hashem al ozvom es teirosi. What if a person can't? Listen to this. When they finish work, they sit in the coffee shops. Kronos doesn't necessarily mean in a vinkel under a tree. It's wherever people gather together to waste their time, to frolic, and to have a good time, and to drink a pint of ale. So he says, "Areitzeli notzel." He says, "Yachzik." But kashebnei adam poiskim imalachdom maseim v'hochum v'teim a yoshvim b'kronos v'heim b'teilim oy mesichim b'dvarim b'teilim ra'osam rabba v'chatosam kavdom yoid. The fi shehem mevazim hatayra. You hear the shyness of the Chai Odom? They mevazed the Torah when they waste their time. You think, well, they're not doing anything to the Torah, they're busy with other things. That being busy with other things, which are not hechrechi, which are not necessary for their livelihood, not necessary for the work that they do for their boss, etc., etc., not necessary for their peace of mind or whatever it is, that is a bizoyin hatayra. She'ilu, why is it a bizoyin hatayra? They're mevatel from Torah, but why is it a bizoyin hatayra? So he explains. She'ilu hayu ma'aminim, she'ein tachlis lematan schara. If they believe that there's no limit to the amount of schar that you get for learning Torah, right? That there's one reward after another. Lama le'yeshivu ragleim le'beis hamedrash lumad o likreis mikroi tehillim. Haloi ha'adam azariz va'atz v'raglub l'malachtoi v'asokov v'yodeya ki ha'kol hevel. He says the person does something and he knows that the thing itself isn't worth anything. So why is he doing it? The answer is he's making money. What are you talking about? I'm making a living. I'm making money. So he says if a person feels that way, how can he not learn he's making more than money? The Torah says he doesn't believe in it. That's a bizayin ha'tayah. V'heich yishka chayi oylam abo v'layitin lahem chelik min ha'yomim ha'shoa min ha'shois af ki be'eshu batal min malachtoi. It's a pasuk in Shiras Dvayim. Asham hu, asham, asham l'Hashem. He says it's terribly guilty if a person doesn't say, "I have spare time. Let me serve Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Let me praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu with his Torah." From Ruzal Kizesh Amar Kosev Kidvar Hashem Baza that's Mitzvasei Heifar. So the Chayyadim says, let's talk tachlis, let's talk lemaisa. Now that we've commented upon the horror of not learning Torah when you have time to do so. He's talking to every single person. When he comes home, it's the first place he should go. It's an amazing thing what the Chayyadim says here. He says part of the job of a woman who's a isha tznuah kshera is to remind her husband, Berale, Chaim Yanko, Srulik, go into that room that you set aside, go into your library, open up a shtickle gemara, a mishnah, afila tehillim, afila in Yiddish, but be kaveh a shtickle tzait falel in Torah, and then come, you'll have supper. So the Chayyadim, as I said, you know, I was debating whether I should present this Chayyadim to you. It's a very, very harsh. But his recommendation, listen, I would go one step further. And it seems to me that if a person is chosh l'nafshay and he's worried about olam haba, I think a person should worry about Olam Hazeh. There's very little in life that gives a person genuine pleasure. And there's very little in life that gives a person genuine sense of purpose, of achievement, and fulfillment. And that really is the marrow of our Simchas HaChayim. When a person is busy, Yoyman V'layla, with nonsense, no matter what it is, I'm buying and selling clothing. It's a panos. They don't need me. They don't need my clothing. They don't need me to buy and they don't need me to sell. And if somebody would ask this person, I'm going to give you now a matana. It's falling into your lap. You won the lottery, so to speak. I'm giving you now $1 million. I don't think that anybody would continue buying and selling the clothes. Now let's say a person was sitting and learning Torah. He has a lot of money. So he's sitting and learning Torah. Alright? What if a person is learning and something comes up that's an opportunity? Money, covered, anything you could imagine. Is there any reason why somebody should stop doing that? And there's nothing that has more of a geshmak to it, and nothing that has more of a tachlis to it, and nothing gives you more schar than Torah. So look, at the person will give up the job in a second, but the person wouldn't give up Torah for anything because there's nothing else to substitute for it. What could you find or what could you imagine that would replace it and give you a greater sense of satisfaction or more value or more reward? So the teretz is nothing. So how could a person not want that which makes his life so fulfilled and chase after Hevel Yoimim Balaim. And you know what's amazing? What's amazing is that everybody thinks for Torah is not always easy, because nothing that's really easy is worth very much. So if I have a tired day, and I've been bugged by my boss, and I've been bothered by my parnasa or my struggle for parnasa, and now it's time for me to relax, most people do not imagine that relaxing has connection to Torah. How can you relax with Torah? But that's only that first moment. You want to kick off your shoes, sit in an easy chair, and fall asleep with a good novel. Or a person wants to watch some television, which of course anyhow is also in treif. But v'chulu v'chulu. Avada, because it takes away your mind, and it allows you to use your imagination, and you can fall asleep in the middle, and it's Shalom al Yisrael. And that's what people want. They want to pull away from the tzaris and the shibud and the lack of tranquility, and they want a little bit of peace and quiet. So to imagine that that's provided for by Torah is a very hard thing. It seems to be counterintuitive at the very outset, and I'm sure that for people who don't know what Torah is in fact counterintuitive. So for them, they have to imagine the great reward in Olam Haba. And then when they think about that, they say, oh, it's worth the struggle. It's definitely kedai. But people who know the Mesikus HaTorah and are able to go beyond that moment of wanting to relax and wanting to sit back and enjoy the company of friends and haka chayinik and say a little Lashon Hara, which of course is very pleasurable. But when you go beyond that and you realize that Torah is that gishmak, that noyam, that is infinitely more enjoyable, so then Avada Gevis, he realizes that compared to this, there's nothing that will give him greater pleasure. I think it's that mindset, that transition from the shtus and hevel of the world to the sense of the value of Torah as a mahana ba'olam hazeh. That's the critical nekuda. That's what a person has to work on. The rest of it is a davar pashut. The person that looks at a Rambam and a Ravid could do a crossword puzzle. How's it shaykh to compare the one to the other? That's what Rav Aaron said to the Gevir. Somebody asked him, Yisachar and Zvulun, 50-50. The Gevir asked him, you mean 50-50, he gets the Torah and Olam Haba, all that schar? So he says, yeah. So he says then, what does the Yisachar have over the Zvulun? And Rav Aaron answered, Olam Hazeh. Very famous. Yisachar has Olam Hazeh. So how come there isn't a long line around the block? The answer is because of that hump. Really, really, I'm serious. It's because of that one moment of transition. If the person would know that it's really very easy to just climb over that little hump, he would be glicklach. But when a person comes home after a hard day, he doesn't chap most of the time that there is that incredible gishmak. So he has to rely on his amunah and his bitachon and his yirah shamayim to say, it's worthwhile anyhow because I want to be kaina olam haba. That mahalach is not going to be zaycha to kesef taira either. You have to feel that it is the most wonderful thing that I could do here and now in this world today.